It's a Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr.
Hot is sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's a Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock!
That's what we call a sack lunch!
They do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
At the fantastic Southern Steak and Oyster. Love this place, man. Just around the corner from the Omni Nashville Hotel. Not the Omni Atlanta Hotel, where the guys were for SEC Football Media Days. Three of the P5s have been completed, by the way. The SEC, the ACC, and the Big 12. Big 10 is next week in Chicago, and I believe the Pac-12. Somebody bean count that for me. Pac-12, media days, I don't know the dates, but I'm assuming it's next week. If you would like to check in today, we are on the road. Yeah, we come out of Wilco. We go north to the downtown 615, 888-702-5494. Twitter at Bill is King. And if you'd like to email us, no worries. BillIsKing7@gmail.com. Price Atkinson in about 10 minutes will join us from South Carolina upstate. And in hour three, as is the case every Friday, Brad Powers is with us. So Ty pulls it up. Pac-12 Media Day is July 25th in Los Angeles. They're going to do it at LAX, or where are they doing it at this year? Let's see. Does it say, though, where it is, Ty? Oh, at Hollywood and Highland. Sorry. Yeah. I'm sure I've been there, but I don't recognize the visual there. Is it what I expected? But, okay, so the 25th. So, yeah, you've got the Big Ten and the Pac-12 on next week. So Ty Richardson, who's leaving us to go back to his home in Arkansas and take a radio job, was in Atlanta, just got back for the SEC Media Day. So you've been to a couple of these now because you went to Hoover last year, right?
Yeah, Bill Hancock called me a veteran this year because it was my second one.
There you go.
Your guy, Bill.
Yeah. My guy, Bill, who said we would never, ever scrap the BCS. And now he's a shill for the playoff. That Bill Hancock. Yeah, my guy. So who'd you see? Who were you starry-eyed walking around there? Or are you calmed down now?
Deebo Samuel, Jarrett Stidham, Jake Bentley. I mean, you saw the best players in the SEC down there. You saw a lot of really quality media. We had Brad Nessler on, Gary Danielson, Jamie Erdahl, who's taking over for Allie LaForce. I mean, there was a star-studded crew down there, not only the players, coaches, but the media as well.
Who'd you meet? Did you meet Feinbaum?
We actually worked out together Monday morning. So me and him were the only ones in the fitness center.
Was he conversive?
No. I didn't want to interrupt him, and I feel like workouts are sacred to most people, so I didn't want to go.
So he's on the treadmill, or what?
He was on the treadmill, yeah. So he keeps in shape for his age. I was surprised. So I was
obviously he's not lifting weights.
No. So he might have been on the machine a little bit, Bill, but I distinctly remember him the majority of the time he was on the treadmill.
Right. Was he rude? Did he say anything rude to you?
No.
Hey, kid, get out of here.
He's like, no, this is my facility. No,
get off my lawn.
He looked at me. I gave him a head nod. He gave me a head nod. And that was the most conversation we had. So I talked to his producer a little bit last day, but me and him didn't exactly have a lengthy conversation.
You met Griff.
I did, yeah.
Ty met Griff, everybody.
He said he introduced
That's way bigger than Fineball.
He introduced himself as Mike Griffin. I was like, you're Griff on Bill's show. He's like, yeah. And I was like, I sometimes help produce that show. And just we talked for a little bit. The difference between covering Tennessee and Georgia seemed like a solid dude.
Yep. Who was the most impressive player you guys
Stidham,
talked to?
Easily.
Jared Stidham?
Yeah, I thought Jared Stidham stood out amongst any – The first thing Johnny asked him was talking about improvement or something, and he went. And the first thing he mentioned was the Clemson game and how a lot of those sacks were his fault. And he was saying, I'll never get sacked 11 times in a game again. He immediately came across as the best player. Him and Benny Snell, surprisingly, were the two most dynamic interviews all week from the players.
Who was the weakest?
Deebo Samuel.
He's not real conversive.
We couldn't air it,
Bill. Well, and not only that, but he answers questions with one word.
Yeah, it was weird. So
he did the same with Feinbaum.
Did he? Okay.
I got to see the Feinbaum interview when Feinbaum was trying to pull water out of a rock.
Okay,
there.
So Johnny, because we saw him go up there. He did have a nice suit. He dressed well.
Yeah.
And Johnny looked at me and goes, do you think he's going to be as short with Paul as he was with us? And I said, probably. I don't think he can change in a matter of like an hour. And of course, like you said, apparently he was just as short with Feinbaum as he was with us.
Man, we got a call here. Let me get Brian, who is up in Boston, where we lost him. Darn. What did he want, Charlie, concerning Penn State? Just general?
Just general Penn State.
Okay. Yeah, Brian in Boston, we must have just gotten a call from the only college fan in the entire New England area, right? Seriously. It's an extinct species up there. Tell you what, with Penn State this year, and I've told you folks, I've been playing mental volleyball with the Big Ten East. I've been battling that thing in my head for weeks now. Actually, longer than that. All spring, all summer. What in the hell is going to go down behind Ohio State? Because we're going chalk, right? We're getting really, really chalky. We're staying with Ohio State, the Big Ten East. After that, what do you do with Penn State, Michigan State, and Michigan? How do you layer them after that? That's my question. I think you're going to be revved up still offensively because I love your quarterback. Obviously, you don't replace a physical presence like Saquon Barkley individually, but I think stat-wise, you're going to be fine. I think you've recruited so well that you're going to maintain a very high level. You get Ohio State at home. That's also a big deal. That's a big note. Circle that right there. That might make a difference. Buckeyes still got a little bit on you player for player. Up and down the roster, still a little deeper than you are. But you do get them in the best place you could possibly get them in. And that is the game of the year right now for me in the Big Ten, not Ohio State, Michigan. Now, having said that, I've had quite a few people who we trust who aren't slappies. They're very good. Dave Biddle being one of Bucknuts. They are picking Michigan in the two slot. I never like to be evasive. I never not like to have a very intellectual answer. But the Big Ten East, to me, 2, 3, and 4, I can't sift through it. I know the schedule. I know the teams. I know the personnel. I know the history. I can't sift through it. I'm just telling you, man. Now, let me say this. Being in the two slot or being right at the top is more vital for Michigan, I think, than it is for the other two. And that's very arguable, I understand. But Harbaugh and Michigan need to present a really good look this year. Another year of letdowns and offensive staticness, okay, is not what is in order. You cannot have that. They need to be revved up, and they need to show everybody this year that they are what people thought they would be at Michigan. But, yeah, Penn State, man, love what's happening there right now. Very fired up about it, and can't wait to watch them. Probably get to see all their games. Hopefully get to see all their games. Bryce Atkinson from ESPN Upstate comes up here in just a couple of minutes. We're at the Southern Steak and Oyster, just around the corner from our good friends at the Omni, where we hang out a lot. 888-702-5494. Twitter at Bill is King. Primo Seats for all your ticket needs. PrimoSeats.com. And remember, use the name Bill is King. They get you 5% off your ticket price. You're already going to get a good price, but when you use that name, it gets you 5% more off. So go there and get your tickets. College football, the NFL, any sport, any season, any time. Doesn't have to be in season. Just whenever. Primo Seats for all of your ticket needs. And use the name Bill is King. When we come back from this lovely Southern Steak and Oyster, Bryce Atkinson will be with us. Brought to you by the Omni Nashville Hotel.
Hey, I'm Coach O. I just love my Hummer. I believe the Hummer is the best vehicle on the road. Big, tough, aggressive, and it represents everything that we want at Ole Miss. I have my Hummer. You need a Hummer. Tell them about it, JoJo.
Mississippi, they are here. The new Rogers Dabbs H3 Hummers are here.
The folks at Rogers Dabbs Hummer are first-team players. Come see them.
Rogers Dabbs and Hummer like nothing else. New H3 starting at just $32,000.
Love it.
Granger stands for safety, and they know what safety stands for. S, safety. A, all about safety. F, feeling good about safety. E, extreme safety. T, talking about safety. Y, you guessed it, safety. First aid kits, eyewash stations, fire protection. You name it. For over 90 years, they've been helping to keep facilities safe and people safer. When it comes to safety, Granger's got your BACK. Call or click Granger.com to see for yourself. Granger. For the ones who get it done.
Only the top athletes in the world can make the NFL. But anyone can play NFL fantasy football, the official fantasy game of the National Football League.
Yes! Yes!
NFL Fantasy provides all the tools you need to build a winning team. Live draft and manage your team from anywhere on your phone. Get expert advice and player projections right in the game.
Let's go, man.
What are you waiting for? Sign up for free today at NFL.com/fantasy.
Since 1976, Angelo's Picnic Pizza, an Italian restaurant, has continued the tradition of the La Mattina family of real Italians making real pizza and dishes with their own secret and successful recipes passed from generation to generation. Angelo's Picnic Pizza, an Italian restaurant at 2713 Murfreesboro Road in Antioch, has long been the go-to place in Nashville for authentic Brooklyn-style pizza, even up to selling pizza by the slice. In fact, the La Mattina family received a proclamation from Metro Government for dedication to service, length of time open for a family-owned business, and great selection of authentic Italian food. But it's more than just great pizzas at Angelo's, with amazing pasta dishes, calzones, strombolis, and sandwiches. Plus daily specials and a buffet Monday through Saturday from 11 to 2 and Sunday 4:30 to 8:30. Catering also available. Visit angelospicnicpizza.com to learn more and print off special coupons, or just give Nick and the crew a call. 615-399-0100. That's Angelo's Picnic Pizza, an Italian restaurant in Antioch, for the real deal Italian.
Southeastern Recycling takes this time to salute our veterans and the troops who are serving our country. We owe them a debt of gratitude for their courage and the sacrifices they're making to secure the safety of our country for future generations, and we await their safe return home. This message is brought to you by Southeastern Recycling, the carpet and carpet pad recycler in Middle Tennessee. Their quality service has earned them a fine reputation. Give them a call at 615-242-6464. That's Southeastern Recycling, on the air because they care. The Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
I always thought you were such a nice, quiet young man.
Westbrook pulls up at the free throw line. Tied ball game.
Here's a kid with an honest face.
Weekday afternoons at 4.
In my car constantly late for appointments because I'm sitting here listening to you on the radio.
Here we go. We're going live right now.
I just want to tell you, I've been a long-time listener for 12, 13 years.
The Johnny Ballpark Frank Show on Nashville Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
We'll be right back.
like tackle football? Bill King does, and you can connect with @BillIsKing on Twitter or 888-702-5494.
Despite what Bill may say, targeting is not the communist plot, but I am willing to entertain offers. You are listening to the Bill King Show, brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel.
From the Southern Steak and Oyster, we do this the third Friday every month. Bryce Atkinson, ESPN Upstate. How you doing, buddy?
What's happening, the King? Good morning and happy Friday. Football season is in the air.
You can kind of feel it. Yeah, I agree. What stood out to you from the media day events so far? You can pick SEC, ACC, Big 12, whatever you want.
What stood out to me was the typical cliches that we get. I am so happy to go into the weekend while football is in the air, to go into the weekend not hearing the words, I'm excited, we're excited, success, culture, all the typical, you know, things, coach speak, that we hear every single year this time of year. And it just gets nauseating when you hear the exact same things out of every coach's mouth. That's why I thought Larry Fedora is outlandish and ridiculous, is what he said at ACC Media Day on Wednesday, day one. I thought was actually refreshing. Now, I mean, I think the guy is so far out to lunch. You know, when if you're somebody that does not believe there is a correlation between concussions, CTE, and playing football, I mean, you got to be out of your daggum mind. And I think Larry Fedora is. But it was refreshing to actually hear something, even though as crazy as it was, to hear something like that. So I'm just glad that the cliches are done. Give me more some of this Larry Fedora, some more nutty stuff that we can all chew on for a couple of days, because that certainly makes it more interesting.
You know what? There's a lot of what he said I agreed with. And let me explain to you. Let me explain this to you. I understand the risk of football and what might happen down the road. I think that's pretty obvious. But when he said they're attacking the game, I agree with him, because we all know the game's physical, and we all know that you're not required to play the game. So I don't get the part where they're trying to legislate to the point where it's going to be everybody's in bubble wrap. Either play it or don't. That's my point. Don't play it if you don't want problems.
Yeah, and let me say, there were a lot of layers to where he was spinning his wheels, and there were a lot of layers to it.
Right.
I agree from the standpoint, the point you're making about the game being under attack as far as participation being down in communities across the country. There are less kids playing it now than before, and I think a lot of it is, I'm not going to say scare tactics, because I believe this stuff is real. I mean, case in point, my house, my 7-year-old has said, I want to play football. I said, no, you're not going to play it. You're going to play soccer, baseball, be a swimmer like dad, maybe even be a curler if we can find some ice around here. But he wants to play it. I got no problem with him playing flag football. I just don't want him going out playing tackle football. I was never a football player myself. But I got no problem if people and their kids want to go do it, cool. But I know that in my house, and that's a reason why I think participation things, the conversations that my wife and I've had, it is down. So I understand from the standpoint of the attack on the game and where he's coming from with that. But equating to saying, you know, an attack on their game, our country's going to go down with it. I mean, that stuff, when you talk about the U.S. military and the country going down in football, I thought some of that stuff was just way out there.
Right. No, I don't equate football with the happiness of the country. I didn't get that part.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Bryce Atkinson with us on this Friday edition from the Southern Steak and Oyster. How about Aaron Murray and then Pollock joining him in critiquing Coach Jeremy Pruitt? What did you think about that?
I was surprised, and I was surprised because Aaron Murray, I feel like that it was from out in left field, because it had been, what, several years since they had, you know, since they had worked together, since, you know, they had been together on the same practice field. I was kind of taken aback by it. Now, I really wasn't sure why or where the shot really was coming from, or the reason behind it to go, you know, take a shot at him. Because here's what I would say to Aaron Murray. If you want to take a shot at him, go for it. But why don't you let the dude coach his first game as a head coach and get through a season before you want to start firing darts and arrows? Because I just didn't really care for it. I just didn't know really why and where it was coming from, and I thought it caught a lot of people by surprise. It caught me by surprise.
Yeah, and it obviously, to me, it was personal because Jimmy Pruitt and Mark Richt probably like, you know, totally 180 opposites, and I think there was a lot of clashing there, a lot of rumors about what things went down when he was there. But to me, it sounded personal, and then, of course, David Pollack joined him.
I mean, and that's the point to make is it came off as I'm not critiquing a guy's ability as a coach. I saw it and read it as this guy's just going after the dude himself. I mean, this is there's some beef, there's some blood there, and Aaron Murray's just ticked off and doesn't like the guy. And it honestly came off a little bit petty, if you ask me, because that's where how I read it is this is just a, you know, he's going after the guy's character, and it's a personal. There is personal issues there, and that's how it came off. It didn't come off as he's critiquing the guy as a coach. It came off as he doesn't like him.
So the local guys here, Ty and company, they were there. And I asked them who the best interview was. They said Jared Stidham. I asked them who the worst was, and they said Deebo Samuel. I watched him on Feinbaum. He answers questions with one word, which is his prerogative, okay? This kid's a hell of a player. But you're there locally. You cover Clemson in South Carolina. Is that something we should have known about Deebo Samuel in advance?
I think Deebo Samuel, he typically has said more than that. And so I was a little bit surprised to see that happen because, you know, as a former SID, too, I'm not going to send a kid. If I know a kid is a one-word answer kid, if I know that from the beginning, and some people and some writers would disagree because some writers think, I don't care what the kid says, put him in front of me, let me try and pry what I can out of him. I don't necessarily agree with that, especially as a former SID, because I want to send the kids, I think, that are going to go out there and sell the school, sell our program, sell our team, sell what we've got on the table for the coming year. And I don't think that those guys down in South Carolina – Steve Fink and company, the SID at USC, I don't think they're going to send Deebo Samuel knowing that he is a one-word answer guy because he has not been like that in the past. I do think Deebo Samuel was one of the best-dressed guys. If you want to find superlatives, I thought that get-up he had, that white get-up was pretty sharp. But, yeah, that is not the Deebo Samuel I've heard. And as a writer, if you're covering it, you know, like Ty and the guys there at your station – that is a frustrating thing when you got a dude that will not give you anything, that you go and try and get, you know, you try and get something out of, and you're getting one sentence answers. I mean, I've been on Radio Row, you know, so many times, you know, you get a kid that sits down, you got about 5-6 questions you typically get through if they give you some answers. I've been to the point where I've run out of 5 and 6 questions in about 2 minutes with some kids because they don't say anything. But, yeah, that was a little bit surprising for Deebo because I know Deebo has got a lot more than that. I don't know if it was some kind of quiet confidence deal. I don't know if he's trying to come off as, you know, I don't know what that was all about. But I do know that Deebo is a much more articulate kid.
Give us the thoughts on the huge contract that Dabo Swinney has given the defensive coordinator, Brent Venables.
It was a long time in the works, and Dabo even said it. But here's the thing, and I know a lot of people are like, oh, my goodness, holy cow, look at the money. You know, it's not the money. I mean, you're trying to keep this guy happy so he doesn't go anywhere. And his son, Jake Venables, who's now a freshman on the team, that almost was the contract extension or raise, if you will, having his son play on the team now. So I understand the contract extension. I understand the raise to try and keep him happy. You don't want him going anywhere. I mean, Brent Venables is the Deshaun Watsons, the Trevor Lawrences, the C.J. Spiller, some of the guys that have come through and made Clemson what they are. Look, let's be real about this thing, Bill. Clemson fields annually one of the, you know, 5 best defenses, statistics notwithstanding, in the country every year. Brent Venables, I don't think you would argue, and it's conservative to say he's one of the 3 best defensive coordinators in the game. You're going to do everything you can to make sure that dude is happy and that dude stays because he has been one of the driving instruments to success for this entire program. But as you well know, too, look, if he gets a head coaching offer that is too good to pass up, the contracts are meant to be broken.
Yeah. Do you think he's a lifer, D coordinator?
You know,
it kind of feels like it.
I just don't think that, having been around Venables a lot, I just don't – look, everybody, especially when you're coaching or, you know, you want to be the head of a company, but especially in the coaching game, you know, there's so many guys that want to have their shot at the top, and rightfully so. But there's some guys that just are meant to be coordinators. That's what they are. And that's not a bad thing if they're not head coaching material. And you don't find that out many times until you get your shot in the big boy chair. Jeremy Pruitt, we're going to find out how he handles the big boy chair. There's just so many things you don't know about that you have to do as a head coach that you don't have a clue about until you're there. And I can give you many different examples. But Venables, the way you go out, I mean, everybody, you know, has always talked about, well, when Bill Snyder retires, is he going to be the guy? Because he's a K-State alum. I mean, he's more of that Bill Snyder kind of introverted type of guy. I mean, he's got passion. He's got juice. We see him on the sidelines. But when you sit in interview settings, that's not always the most comfortable place for him. He is the 180 of Dabo Swinney when it comes to sitting down and talking and the aesthetics. I get the feeling that a defensive coordinator spot like at Clemson, that's where he needs to – that's his spot. Now, I also thought that Chad Morris, and full disclosure, I always thought Chad Morris was never really a head coach material. But we'll find out what he does at Arkansas, because I'm really curious to see. It wasn't like he set the world on fire at SMU. He did okay. I mean, he got them turned around to a degree, but they weren't lighting, you know, the AEC on fire. I'm curious what Chad Morris does. So there's certain guys I thought before that have no business being head coach, and I was wrong about them. So Chad Morris,
You just killed Ty with that Arkansas. He's moving back to Arkansas to take a job.
Look, I love it. Look, Ty's awesome, man. And I loved watching some of the I don't remember if it was on SEC Network, but the opening press conference and stuff. And Chad Morris had everybody. I mean, he had everybody's souls. I mean, and he might do a fantastic job in Vietnam. Time will tell. I just never thought, being around Chad Morris, I thought offensive coordinator and what he does, how he operates, all the different things that go into it, I thought that's where Chad Morris – I thought he was a lifer as an offensive coordinator. Look, I admit when I'm wrong. That's the thing about this thing. I will stand up and say, yep, raise my hand. I was wrong about that dude. I was wrong about that player.
Have a good weekend, brother. Appreciate you, man.
Back, Bill.
There he is. Bryce Atkinson, ESPN Upstate. Got to get the bottom of the hour break here. Brad Powers coming up, hour 3, Omni Nashville Hotel.
That earlier wreck at the 65-24 merger has been cleaned out of the way, but we are still seeing slower traffic in that area. As you make your way out of Rutherford County in the Laverne area on 24, you're going to start seeing some slower traffic, as well as at the 24-40 merger. Still seeing a little slower traffic on 40 coming out of Mount Juliet at the airport, but everything coming in from the Dixon County area and the Clarksville area at the moment seems to be moving pretty well. Don't let your glass be a pain. Contact Best Price Auto Glass, 615-877-0008. With on-time traffic, I'm John Boyce.
The debate about sports specialization by high school athletes continues. Some argue that high school athletes who play one sport all year long have a better chance of landing a lucrative pro contract. But that's simply not true. In fact, 30 of the 32 first-round picks in last year's NFL draft played more than one sport in high school. Of the 32 players drafted, 22 also participated in high school track and field. 19 also played basketball. Some also played baseball and lacrosse. What's the path to success for high school athletes here in Tennessee, no matter what their goals might be? Study hard. Always do your best. And if you can, play more than one sport in high school. This message presented by the Tennessee Secondary School Athletic Association and the Tennessee Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
Everybody buckle up. Buckle up.
Buckle up. Buckle up.
Everybody,
buckle up. Buckle up. Buckle up. Everybody, buckle up.
Let's go.
Buckle up.
Can we go to the store?
Mom, can we get some ice cream?
Buckle up. Everybody, buckle up.
Everybody, buckle up.
A lot goes on in the car, but remember, you're in control. Stand firm. Only move when you hear the click that says they're buckled in. Never give up until they buckle up. Learn more at safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
WNSR weather.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast. Chance of storms this morning across Music City, otherwise sunny and hot, a high of 91. Mostly cloudy, warm, chance of a storm tonight, low 73. Chance of a storm and sunny and hot on Saturday. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Alvin Washington.
Sports Radio, WNSR.
Bill King is the motherfucking 12th data point of college football.
You are listening to The Bill King Show, the only college football radio show proven to make you smarter about college football.
From the Southern Steak and Oyster, just around the corner from the Omni Nashville Hotel. 888-702-5494 for Twitter at Bill is King. Brad Powers coming up next hour. Quincy in Ohio. What's happening?
Good morning, Bill.
Well, good morning.
I think I found me a kindred soul in old Larry down there in the Chapel Hill. you know, the sport's not only under attack from those trying to legislate the rules, but, and you and I have talked about this before with the Dan Walkins and the Spencer Halls and the young, the up-and-coming digital-only teams, bloggers that cover the sport, and someday we'll be the main guys cover sport. These guys cover the sport, and it seems like they don't even like the sport. I don't understand why they're doing it. If they go on and on about how coaches make too much money, that the players don't make enough, and how it's just awful, it's so dangerous, and the CTE, and how dare they do this, and they cover it. They cover it every day. It's their job. Like, go cover something else. If football was easy, who would care? I dated the girls I dated in college only because I played football. There was no way I was going to get a girl to go out with me if I didn't play football. It's chicks dig scars, man, and that's why we play it, because it's dangerous. If it wasn't dangerous, we would have never played it, and we all understand that. And you got all these people chiming in about the dangers and needs. All this needs changed, and this, that, and the other.
Well, hey, Quincy, here's another item, though. With social media, there's this mob mentality. And a lot of people will jump on board these things that really don't have an opinion. But there's just a big mob mentality. So they caught Fedora probably. You know, Fedora got too far down the road on the topic. He should have been a little bit more specific. So he did say some things that were over the top. But when they have a chance to get a guy and get him, you know, 10,000 to one, fight him that way, they just all pile on. And you see it, whether it's that topic, you see it, whether it's something political, it's the way it is on Twitter. And that's the part I don't like either, but it's not going away. It's only going to get worse. So,
yeah, and I don't want to besmirch the guy that just was on there. But, and he even said, if you want to play football, that's fine. If you want to watch it, that's fine. It's just, you're not going to do it. My kid's not going to do it. And he's not saying you're evil if you let your kid play. He's just saying, hey, this is my choice.
Personal choice.
Even he kind of piled on there a little bit. Because in this country, if you don't agree with a certain side of the Twitter mob, like with Larry even just kind of saying, hey, you know what?
we don't have all the evidence. Let's pump the brakes for a minute. And he didn't say, you know, there's no way that this. He just said, hey, I got some questions, basically. Let's pump the brakes on all this, all the evidence sitting in. And he's just the biggest dope on the face of the earth, and how dare he? And if you, anytime somebody questions the wrong side of the herd, you get that same mentality. Did you by chance, and I caught the headline of this, I said, this could only be written by one person. Dan Wokin's article yesterday in the USA Today's.
I did not see that, no.
Oh, my gosh. It's the most condescending, most condescending thing I've ever read by a major publisher like USA Today. I mean, that used to be my go-to college football news when I was in college newspaper. And, dude, it is terrible, that article. And, of course, it got lampooned on the internet big time on the Twitters and stuff. So, you know, not everybody's falling lockstep in this whole shenanigans. Bill, you have a good day, and glad I could get in today.
Hey, did you hear, and I'm going to try and get this audio over to Charlie. Did you hear Mark Slareth yesterday on this topic?
I did,
Quincy?
Not.
Okay.
I like Mark.
We'll hang up, and I'm going to send this over to Crazy Charlie. Boy, you're talking about passionate on this topic. Very passionate. Appreciate you, man. Thanks, Quincy.
Thanks, bro.
Let me send this while I'm sitting here. We can multitask while we're doing the show. No worries at all there. Let me send this to my guy, Crazy Charlie. There you go. Hit send. All right. Charlie, I just sent this to you. There's no cursing, so you don't need to worry about editing. It's about 2 minutes long, but it's, I believe it's on Fox, actually. Slareth is no longer with ESPN, right, or is he? Is he? I don't think he is he?
No, Fox Sports.
Okay.
See, he still has his radio show in Denver, but he's Fox Sports.
Okay.
NFL analyst.
But somebody is very passionate. I totally believe that the sport of football is under attack, and it's increasing. I totally believe that. And obviously, Fedora got too far down the road. I would never equate the attack on football with eventually the country's going to go with it, okay? I would never go there.
You wouldn't go that far?
No, no. So, but just to bash him on the general premise, I disagree with. And I'm not his shill. I'm not his PR guy. Matter of fact, with NCAA news yesterday and everything else, he's in some trouble. His survivability is negligible right now after this season. But and the other thing is I'm not staging this at all, but I love being in the minority. So, you know, all of these PC crowd folks and all that mob mentality thing, I love being in the minority. Love it. Charlie, you let me know when you get that pulled up. I emailed that to him just a second ago so he could find the audio clip. Brad Powers coming up in hour number three with us. If you'd like to get in, 888-702-5494 and on Twitter at Bill Is King. Coach Marshall says, Bill, I agree with you. They're attacking the game. I mentioned this Thursday. I have five boys, and I wouldn't let three of them play. One of them's playing right now. But it wasn't the CTE thing. It was just I told them I don't think this sport is for you. I know you. Dad knows what he's talking about. I don't think you would fit and be very successful or enjoy that game. And they're not aggressive. Okay, you've got to have some of that in you. So I discouraged it, but it wasn't the CTE thing. And I mentioned this too yesterday. My eighth grader, rising ninth grader, got a concussion last year. We had to take him to the emergency room. I've experienced that. I've had it happen. He was returning kicks, returned three in one game, and it built up the very last one. He got hit in the head twice. He got hit in the head before he went down, and he got hit in the head on the way down. I mean, it was rough, okay? It was upsetting. But I got to tell you, it never occurred to me, you're not playing again. Now, if we go to the doctor and they say he doesn't need to play anymore, then he won't play anymore, okay? I'm not being stupid about this, but I want him to be happy. He loves sport. Hopefully this doesn't happen again. Hey, Charlie, this is Mark Slareth talking about this topic. He's had 29 surgeries, by the way, everybody. Take a listen to this.
All right, well, Larry Fedora was salient in his points, and he's got the right to have that opinion, and he spent more time around football than any of the reporters that are criticizing him or any of the media that will criticize him for his opinion. Let me tell you the thing that really irritates me, and I get irritated about this. Football, the equation out there that we're told, and football has, for me, it's provided far more than it's ever taken. It's given me far more than it's ever taken.
29 surgeries.
Yes, and I'd do it all over again. But the equation seems to be football equals CTE equals early death, or you're going to kill your family. And that's the narrative that's pushed all the time. And you know what they don't look at? They don't look at the fact that guys retire, and some guys put their identity in playing football. And when that identity is taken away from you, guess what? You fall into depression. How does that factor into the equation? How do guys that are stuck on and addicted to opiates, how does that fall into the equation? How about guys that abuse alcohol? How about guys that don't have a purpose when they're done playing? How about all those things that aren't being researched? Could those have an effect on your brain matter, your brain health? Because certainly I believe that repeated concussions or repeated head trauma will probably create a situation where you have some injury, some CTE. But I also believe that your brain has enough elasticity, has enough connectivity to overcome some of those things. So why does not every guy die early with brain trauma? Why is Jerry Kramer going to be elected and inducted in the Hall of Fame? And he's 84 years old, and he's salient, and he's sharp, and I talk to him on a regular basis. Why? Because we don't look at anything but, oh, football causes CTE and you're going to die. Run away, run away. And I think it's so selfish and it's so short-sighted and the science is so incomplete. And I 100% agree with Larry. And it bothers me that somebody's going to go into the USA Today and say, fire him immediately.
Nailed it. Absolutely nailed it. Did Wolken write a piece saying fire him immediately for this? Is that what he? I didn't see the piece. I don't wake up every day saying, "What did Dan Wolken write today?" Anyways, all right, one more break here in hour number two from the Southern Steak and Oyster, brought to you by the Omni Nashville Hotel.
That earlier wreck at the 65-24 merger has been cleaned out of the way, but we are still seeing slower traffic in that area. As you make your way out of Rutherford County in the Laverne area on 24, you're going to start seeing some slower traffic, as well as at the 24-40 merger. Still seeing a little slower traffic on 40 coming out of Mount Juliet at the airport, but everything coming in from the Dixon County area and the Clarksville area at the moment seems to be moving pretty well. Don't let your glass be a pain. Contact Best Price Auto Glass, 615-877-0008. With on-time traffic, I'm John Boyce.
Hold everything for less. The Pack Store Save event is going on now at the Home Depot, and the shelves are full of smart storage solutions. Start with durable 27-gallon storage totes for just $9.48 each. They're made of heavy-duty resin to hold up to 400 pounds. At that price, you should get a few extra, just to hold the money you'll save. Come get organized at the Pack Store Save event going on now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through August 22nd, U.S. only.
Napa know-how.
If you're a fan of quality parts, Napa's a fan of you. And we're showing the love all week long with double points for Napa Rewards members. Not a member? Not a problem. Just sign up when you check out to get double points in your entire purchase. But don't wait to get rewarded. Double points and Sunday. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
Offer available July 16th through July 22nd.
You know David Price as an all-star pitcher for the Red Sox, but you may not know that David Price has teamed with Dr. Smithson to deliver non-surgical orthopedic care at his clinic in Murfreesboro and Cool Springs. Dr. Smithson is a board-certified sports medicine physician and former team doctor for Auburn University. If you're looking for a second opinion for your knee or hip replacement, contact the David Price Center at 615-678-0014 or visit davidpricecenter.com.
part of you won't be satisfied till you eat food that's hot and meaty. You want Penn Station East Coast subs, grilled steak and onions, baked bready goodness, and fresh-cut fries. Answer your craving. Penn Station. Hot, meaty goodness.
Visit Penn Station East Coast Subs in Bellevue, Hermitage, Mount Juliet, and the two locations in Murfreesboro. And for the entire month of July, enjoy any delicious wrap with amazing fresh-cut fries and drink for the special price of only $6.99. Penn Station, hot, meaty goodness.
Ladies and gentlemen,
here's a smart suggestion.
Check out the new and improved WNSR.com.
You're going to have to explain that.
It's the new and improved WNSR.com. With everything a sports fan needs.
We got a whole new attitude.
All the scores, all the highlights, all the updates, all the stories, and even the new website smell from Nashville Sports Radio.
This is the most important religious event of our time.
You keep saying that, but you don't tell me how.
Log on to the new and improved WNSR.com. Best college football talk on the planet, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, The Bill King Show.
Southern Steak and Oyster on this Friday, where we're located, just around the corner from the Omni. 888-702-5494. Brad Powers is coming up in hour three, about 12, 13 minutes out. Karen, what's happening?
I wasn't going to get mad on Twitter today, and then you ruined it for me.
What happened?
Okay, first of all, I respect your stance on you had several boys, one of whom you felt was suited to play football, and you let him play. That's cool.
Right.
I get it. But guys like Price Atkinson, who make their living on the sweat of these kids' brows, and then take this holier-than-thou, well, my wife and I talked about this, and our child's not going to be allowed to play, then you know what, Price? Go Cobb or Tiddlywinks or soccer or something else. I'm so over it, Bill. That's it.
I didn't know what you were mad about until you just got to it, but...
Now,
oh,
Price,
man.
Go cover, you know, synchronized swimming or tiddlywinks or, you know, shuffleboard. Something that's a little less, you know, dangerous for your precious child. I'm over it, Bill. Go make your
they're
money
coming,
somewhere else.
They're coming after the football, Karen. I'm telling you. They're coming after it.
Well, yes, I know that. And it's one thing for the general public, you know, to feel that way. And certainly if you have a child, you have a right to not let him play football. Not saying that you don't. But don't make your living off of the sweat of the brow of the kids who do. Don't do that, Christ. Go do something else. Anyway, Jesus. Ugh, good Lord. In the meanwhile, my grandson's jousting out in Nebraska in 100-degree heat, loving every second of it, okay? Loving every second of it. Screw Price. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye. Price does curling. You're not going to get any ice there in upstate South Carolina, I don't think. Yeah, they're attacking it. I see no end in sight. I hate to be negative there. I really do. But they're not going to stop. And they have a lot of willing accomplices in the media. They do. So it's a worry. I've got one very simple solution to all of this. And apparently it's so simple it doesn't make sense. And that's don't play. If you're worried about CTE, you're worried about after effects, that is your prerogative. Don't play. And a lot of people are choosing that. I mean, that's happening, obviously. But don't take the game away from the people who want to play. See, there's too many people now wanting to affect other people's lives by the way they see things, okay? If it's good for you, fine. Do what's best for you, but don't try and legislate for everybody else because you're so smart you know better. That's a sickening thing. And that's what's happening right now. They have a lot of willing accomplices. They got a lot of willing accomplices in the football community. I'm telling you now, I'm talking about old school. There's some old school football people who would prefer this whole thing to be played in bubble wrap. I'm just telling you. So I've got no problem saying that I'm closer to the opinion of Larry Fedora, who's being totally attacked by everybody, than not. Now, again, he went too far. I'm not equating America's future with football's future. I'm not doing that. Hopefully, I understand real versus reality. Hopefully, I've got a little bit of perspective there on that one. I've always known this was not the most. What we do, I've always understood and had a very good perspective. We're not solving the world's problems here. Okay? We're talking about sports. I know there are more important things going on. That's why we're so fortunate to do this. What are they going to do next? Seriously, what are they going to do next? You can't talk about it anymore? Because if you talk about it, it will encourage people to want to play, which then will lead to more CTE. Huh? I know. That's absurd, but the whole thing is somewhat absurd to me. Brad Powers. Now, what were the things that I was supposed to remember to ask Brad? One was, you know how we have the opening weekend and we got Michigan, Notre Dame, Florida State, Virginia Tech, Miami, and LSU, Auburn, Washington, Tennessee, West Virginia. Here's one, though. I got to ask it. Matter of fact, it's going to be the first question. Ole Miss and Texas Tech open up. You tell me what the over and under is going to be on that. 280? I mean, that's going to be an absolute shootout. I mean, I'm thinking it's got to be in the 70s, right?
It's going to be a good game. Jordan Tiamu was another really impressive interview.
He's pretty good. Yeah, I saw him on TV. He was good. Tell you what, he's got probably a great wide receiving core.
He might have the best wide receiver core. I mean, you look at DK Metcalf, AJ Brown. I mean, they are loaded out there.
There's right.
not a couple people that came on Johnny's show this week think Alabama's the only game they're going to lose is Ole Miss this year, just because they have five new secondary pieces. They have a new defensive coordinator.
DBs versus receivers.
Yeah, and Ole Miss is very capable. We've seen in the past what happens in Oxford.
Well, the other thing there is Ole Miss has got to protect Tamu, and they have a good offensive line led by Greg Little. That's the other thing. I wouldn't worry so much if I was Alabama if I knew I was getting to that quarterback a lot. And they still probably will somewhat. But if they keep him relatively clean, they've got a fighting chance. Now, the problem Ole Miss has is Alabama, offense to their defense, will gut them unmercifully. Alabama's offense to Ole Miss's defense basically can do anything on the play call sheet they want. They could simply, if they wanted, say, we're only running in the A gap, and they'd be successful. Matter of fact, I'm going to give you the calls. We're running in the A gap every play, the entire game, and they would be successful. So there's two ways to look at it there. I think Alabama's offense to their defense is way more of a mismatch than big-time pro-caliber receivers versus green secondary. That'll be interesting, though. That will mean Ole Miss really has their number if they're doing it after, if they beat them after Hugh Freeze, right? Hugh did it twice.
Yeah. On the road.
That'd be amazing.
In Brian Denny. It's one thing to do it and Vaught Hemingway. It's another thing to do it in Brian Denny Stadium. He was able to do that. And they almost got him again. I mean, think about that. I mean, Jalen Hurts, he looked like he got his jaw broken in that game, and they still found a way to win. I heard people say that at first. I was like, no way. And then I thought about it a little bit. I mean, it's going to be a shootout.
I saw somebody tweet that.
It's feasible. Barrett Slee came on the show, and he thinks that's the only game Alabama's going to lose in the SEC this season.
That'd be prophetic if he's right. I can't go that far with it. It may be interesting, but I can't take it that far. Hour number three is coming up. We're at the Southern, and Brad Powers will be with us. If you'd like to get in, 888-702-5494 on Twitter at BillisKing, and use the hashtag AskBP, as in Brad Powers. Hashtag AskBP when you tweet me at BillisKing. Hour three.